Hey, Noah.
Hello.
Going to have a great show today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
We're all out of breath, but it's going to be a great show anyhow.
Let's do this.
Sure. Okay, yeah, let's definitely do it here, okay?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, welcome Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California to AM 1080 KSCO's Saturday Special. My name is Michael Z. We've got a couple of real articulate guests here in the program today for the next couple of hours to talk about widening the highway. Should it or should it not be widened? So when we do programs like this, they tend to get a little spicy, and we expect that it'll be no different today. We hope you will stay with us for the next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Road rage, accidents, garbage, backup, slowing.
Where'd all this traffic come from?
Brake lights, big rigs, accidents. But the one big scenario played out day after irritating day, congestion.
Where'd all this traffic come from?
We're talking Highway 1. You know, that two-lane baby that drives you to distraction everywhere on the Central Coast.
Two lanes of traffic and it's all blocked.
Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special with your host MZ from 10 a.m. to noon and guests from both sides of the perspective as to whether we should
widen it.
Widen Highway 1 this Saturday on the Saturday Special with your host MZ on your
walking wet hot roadway radio stations
AM 1080 and 1340 KSCO.
You know, it's one of those irritants that's been with us for a long time. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who will argue that when you try to drive between Santa Cruz and Aptos or Watsonville, I guess out through Rob Roy Junction, Freedom Boulevard, during the commute hour, anytime after maybe 3 o'clock, it's a nightmare. I mean, it's like a parking lot. It doesn't move at all. It makes you think you're right in the middle of one of the major metropolitan areas of our country, and that is not the case. So there are so many people who would like to see something done about that. Here it is, 2003, and in 1985, I remember people being upset about that, and why don't we do something about it? Well, why don't we do something about it? That's the topic today on the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is MZ, and we have guests in the studio from both sides of this perspective, both sides of this issue. Ken Lane is a retired author and automotive publisher and a teacher and, of course, a Santa Cruz resident. Ken is in favor of the widening of Highway 1. We also have in the studio Paul Ellerick, who is a 33-year Aptos resident, a retired IBM corporation engineer, I guess, employee, and has two children. Paul resides in Aptos. He also has four grandchildren and has been active in the campaign for sensible, maybe sensitive too, transportation. Welcome, Paul, and welcome, Ken, to KSCO. It's great to have both of you. You can move up closer to the microphone, both of you. That'd be great. Well, Paul, what's sensitive, a sensible transportation? How do you?
Well, we're looking at sensible transportation as alternatives to widening the freeway. Okay. Now, we agree that the freeway situation is unbearable, and it has been for more than, you know, probably at least. I think the freeway broke in about 1990. I think that's when it became the bottleneck that
it is.
What
do you think happened? What happened then? Do you think?
I think it was the the boom in employment in the Silicon Valley, houses were very appealable here, and people didn't mind the commute. I can speak from experience about the commute.
You were one of the people, I guess, right?
I did it for 30 years. I drove one in 17 for 30 years.
30
right.
years. So you've been an after... Well, that's what it's
so
been,
I, and
23
I can,
years.
And I can tell you that up until about 1990, between 1990 and 95, the it was, you know, traffic was traffic, but it I think it broke in about 1995. That's when it really became between 1993 and 1995. That's when things came to a halt.
Uh huh.
So you know, we agree, but we also don't think widening the freeway is going to fix that problem in itself.
Because you think if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, why? It's a logical thing that if you widen the freeway and you provide more capacity, people who want to use it will be able to without being caught up in a traffic jam.
And that sounds logical. But, you know, nowhere that I've been, and we lived in San Jose before this, throughout the, you know, the major, and I drove in San Jose, you know, for those 30 years too, the major freeway construction era, that freeways were put up, you know, 85, 87, countless widenings of 101, countless widenings of 880, and during the rush hour, you can still see the same stop-and-go traffic. So we think that Santa Cruz County, we have an opportunity here to spend a lot of money on widening the freeway, mm-hmm. but we just don't think it's going to solve the problem. There probably is no cost-effective way of getting enough traffic lane capacity for everybody that everybody wants all the time. There probably is no way to do that. I don't think we can afford it. And I don't think there's enough room to pave it over.
Don't you think there, well, maybe there isn't. Maybe I was going to say, don't you think there's a natural barrier to, and that being the cost? I mean, no one will argue that Santa Cruz is one of, if not the most expensive places to live as far as, you know, cost of real estate, rents and housing prices. And don't you think that the laws of economics are just that? They're like laws of physics that can't be violated. And there comes a point where if a place is just so darn expensive and that people can't afford to live there, that there won't be growth. And that,
well, getting just, you know, the campaign for sensible transportation does not look at this freeway issue as a growth versus no growth issue at all.
Interesting, because
it's
that usually comes into the
it
argument,
always comes in
it?
It always comes into the argument, and it's really not what it's about. I mean, we want to fix the problem too. We want to see people get to work on time. We want to see people be able to go in their cars, and, you know, the places that people have to go in their cars. But we want to see alternatives to people that, for example, have to get to work. I have some ideas of alternatives, and when it's my turn, I'd like to let you know about them.
Okay. Well, let's see. Can you give us a clue right now, or should we go to Ken? Let's go to Ken and find out what Ken has to say on this issue here. Obviously, you're in favor of the widening of the freeway between Highway 1 and Highway 1 between Santa Cruz and Aptos.
Right.
And get a little closer to the microphone, please.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Okay. And tell us why.
The road's unsafe. It needs to be widened or improved, if okay. we use the word improved, as a safety issue. It okay. kills people.
Uh-huh.
And Paul's correct. The freeway probably broke in the mid-90s. I would say probably earlier than that. I used to drive to see my father, who lived in Soquel during the 1970s for the last 10 years of his life. And I could get onto Highway 1 5:30, 6 o'clock of an evening and drive right straight out to Soquel, no problem at all. You can't do that after 2 o'clock today.
It's getting earlier and earlier, I guess, huh?
I was in San Jose last Friday having lunch with some friends and came back shortly after 2 on a Friday afternoon. Traffic was stopped. Stopped still on Highway 1.
Was it because of an accident or just plain congestion?
Congestion.
Uh-huh.
It's unsafe. It kills people. I see that, I think, okay, as well
as anybody.
Well,
I don't think anybody
does.
Would argue about what you just said about Highway 17, which is a naturally treacherous highway that you know, with all the twists and turns on it. If people could go fast, there are going to be a lot of crashes. You don't normally hear about the Santa Cruz to Aptos commute on Highway 1 as being all that unsafe. It's just an irritant, really, because there aren't that many accidents. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that happened as a result
mostly,
of
They're mostly fender benders, but a fender bender will stop, you know, people in their tracks.
I would disagree with that.
But you said it kills people. I mean, as soon, I'm sure we're going to get into the discussion of the widening of Highway 17 and should that have been done and should it still, if it ever can, because it's been said that we had our opportunity in the 70s and the people in charge politically here in Santa Cruz County said thanks, but no thanks.
Right.
And as a result, we are stuck with a blood alley called Highway 17. Now, I don't think too many people would call Highway 1, which is a pretty straight highway between Santa Cruz and Aptos, as Blood Alley, but just about everybody I know would sure like to see it widened. So I can't wait to hear what Paul has to say.
Well, can I expand on the unsafe issue a
sure.
little bit more?
Sure.
I live right on top of Highway 1.
Whereabouts?
Nope. On the frontage road on Fairmount Avenue on the south side of the freeway.
Got it.
Nobody lives closer to the freeway than I do except my neighbors across the street who are backed up right to it.
Okay.
And a couple days a week, any week, I can be working in the front yard or upstairs in the office and hear the sequence beginning of screech, thud. There goes another one.
Oh.
The area in the street right in front of our house is staging area for wreckers to pull cars off the freeway. And the screech thud too often is followed by the siren first of the highway patrol car. That's 6 or 8 minutes later. And then I cross my fingers and say, okay, is it just going to be a citation, an accident report? And then you hear the whooping sound of the paramedics ambulance.
Okay, so what I've said is obviously wrong.
It is a... And the most tragic example is one that's back in the news this week, of the little baby that was killed on Highway 17 last July. And that started about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I heard the sirens again, and the sirens kept going and going, and they didn't stop, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a bad one. And then the helicopter came, and the helicopter was circling the fishhook area. I could see it from the upstairs window in our house. This is really a bad one. And the sirens kept coming and kept coming, and the sirens were stalled on Highway 1. The emergency vehicles couldn't get through the traffic on Highway 1 to get to the accident. The car that the fatality occurred in was stalled on Highway 17. The accident occurred on Highway 17. Trying to get onto the fishhook onto Highway 1 going south, where traffic was dead standstill. And if traffic on Highway 1 had been moving, and even slowly, would the accident have occurred? We don't know. Would it perhaps have been a non-fatal accident if it did occur? Chances are better that it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that situation occur again because we have a bottleneck of a freeway.
Is it possible that Paul's ideas here, let's start hearing some of those.
Well, just in comment to Mr. Lane, the tragedy of that accident is still fresh in my mind because I was driving around when that happened, and I too wondered what catastrophic thing took place. Now, that accident was caused apparently by somebody that was possibly made some, the driver's being, is in jail right now. And I don't know any way of fixing that. But that was like 29 cars piled up because an 18-wheeler lost its brakes.
Yeah, and chances are that would have happened.
And that would have happened.
Freeway
and I
want to
just,
right?
Let me clarify. The freeway widening does not fix the fishhook. It stays as is. It does not fix the fishhook. The merge lanes project does not fix the fishhook. So that bottleneck is there.
I don't agree with you. It doesn't fish the fishhook.
Doesn't fix the fishhook.
Right. Doesn't fix the fishhook because it's probably not going to be re-engineered.
That's right.
It doesn't look like there's room to re-engineer it. Maybe it could be, but you provide a relief valve by widening Highway 1 and getting traffic off the fish hook more smoothly and more quickly. So it mitigates the jam at the fish hook on Highway 17.
By widening Highway 1, you're talking about?
Yes, by providing a relief valve.
Is anybody talking about widening Highway 17 these days, or are those days gone?
I think those days are gone. I think that the current load on 17 is heavy, but it isn't anything like it was even in the 80s. I mean, I still drive the hill once in a while.
Really? Do you think it's because of telecommuting or because people are out of work?
It's everything. It's people are out of work. I think it's a lot safer than it was in the 70s and 80s with the concrete medians.
Yeah.
It's cut down a lot of accidents. And if you look at the CHP accident rates, they've dropped. And I think the CHP, who has conducted the crackdown on reckless drivers, has probably been the major factor in cutting down accidents on 17. I think that they need to keep doing that, and there's funding in place to make sure that they have officers paid to do that. Mm-hmm.
You don't think 17 is nearly the problem it used to be?
No, I don't.
And what do you think about that, Ken?
I would generally agree with him. My son drives it 6 days a week to work from the west side of Santa Cruz to Sunnyvale or Campbell.
It brings to mind... Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, it has been improved, and traffic on it is not as bad as it was, say, pre-earthquake.
So that was money well spent to put in those concrete medians, obviously,
yeah,
because it really did a lot to mitigate the head-on collision problem that we had with that treacherous highway. Well, interesting. It brings to mind one day on this station several years ago, when Philippe Kahn, you know who he is?
Oh, yes.
Who started Borland and has had a number of other very successful software, high-tech companies. We asked Philippe to just for fun one day host the afternoon drive program here on KSCO. And he sat in this room right in the chair that you're sitting in, Ken. And he decided to make his topic of the day Highway 17, the death trap, which he, at that time, said was just a terrible thing that never should have been permitted to have been remain in the condition, in the treacherous condition it's been allowed to all these years, because as a direct result of that unsafe highway, several of his most promising and most valuable engineers lost their lives. And so what you're saying is that that's less of a problem these days for whatever reason, but we're still back to this Highway 1 thing, which people were asking me to do something about even before I owned the radio station. I don't know if you remember, there was a situation in La Selva Beach. I don't know where you live, Paul. I know you live in Aptos. Is it near La Selva anywhere?
It's near enough. Yeah, I know.
Did you used to have a 684 prefix?
No, we've always had 684.
Okay, well, people in La Selva Beach proper used to have 68 who used to have 684 prefixes. That used to be considered a Watsonville phone number. Okay? And I used to live in Santa Cruz, and I bought some property and moved out to the La Selva Beach area one day. And it used to bother the hell out of me that I would have to, that people wanting to call me from Santa Cruz would have to make a long distance call because I had a 684 number. And conversely, if I wanted to call back to Santa Cruz, I would have to make a long distance, it would be a long distance call. Because I knew that it was miscategorized. It was being called a Watsonville exchange, but it was really an Aptos exchange, and that it was switched in the Aptos central office of the telephone company. And for years, people out there said, "Oh, we've been trying to petition the Pacific Bell to please let us make what you consider local calls, because we talk much more frequently between Aptos or La Selva Beach and Santa Cruz than between La Selva Beach and communities of interest, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're more of a community of interest with La Selva Beach and Santa Cruz than La Selva Beach and Watsonville." And the phone company always says, "Oh no, it's not." And I said, "Wait a minute, you guys. You don't approach it from that angle. You approach it from the angle that you demand that this be reclassified because you're switching this in your Aptos office. How dare you continue to get away ripping off the public by calling it a Watsonville exchange when it's not? And so you better change it real fast or you're going to be looking at refunds for 12 or 15 years." And I made up the petition that said that, and I got to tell you, it's the only petition I ever authored in my life, but it was the easiest petition in the world. Everybody signed it, and just like that, Pacific Bell capitulated, and it became a local prefix. So people started calling me and saying, "Hey, Zwirling, why don't you start a petition to widen Highway 1 between Santa Cruz and La Selva Beach? You seem to be able to get things done." Well, it's the only time I'd ever gotten anything done in my life, and probably the last time. But it reminds me of that, because I remember people used to say way, way back then, and that was before I owned the radio station, actually several years before. So there might be a different way to approach it. Are you against? I mean, you're If there was money readily available that was earmarked for the widening of Highway 1, Paul, would you be against it?
Well, I'd be against it because without looking at alternatives, I'd be against it because I firmly believe that it's not going to fix the problem. If you could show some way that will 100% guarantee that the traffic is going to be fixed for a reasonable period of time, you know, people would, I think even I would look at it as something that might be worth doing. But I don't see that happening at all. I just see, you know, there's things that can be done right now that could ease traffic.
Okay, I'm all ears,
okay,
as Ross Perot would say.
You know, most of urban areas in California have ramp metering lights. They have ramp metering getting on and off their freeways. Now we've talked to the Regional Transportation Commission about that, and you know, the answer we get is that some entrances and exits don't lend themselves to ramp meters, and that's true. But there's some that do. And, you know, I can name specifically, the entrance at Park Avenue, for example. There, you could meter people on and off on the freeway there, not off the freeway. But, you know, that works. That's something that could be done. And with some engineering, you know, maybe some of those other entrances to the freeway could have a long enough on-ramp.
And you think that would go more towards solving the problem than widening the highway?
That would immediately, I mean, certainly do it faster. I mean, that could be done in a couple years and cheaper. Maybe, you know, I don't know, I'm not good cost estimating, but, you know, we're talking about...
I'm sure it could be cheaper.
We're talking about a widening project that's going to be one half of $1 billion for openers. And I believe the estimate for the sales tax debt retirement is about $1 billion for an 8.25-mile length of freeway.
Is that's basically paving and engineering. It's not, there isn't any requirement for acquiring rights away, are
this
there?
This is for the ramp meters?
No, for the widening of the...
There's money in there that right-of-way is going to have to be obtained.
I didn't think there was. I thought there was a lot of space in the right-of-way towards the center that you could add at least a lane just with some pavement. Am I wrong about that?
Well, that's one of the options that's going to be looked at in the environmental study. There's about four options. And a narrow third lane is one of the options. But, the plan of record is to have a full... three lanes with access road, you know, access lane for emergency vehicles, the length of the freeway. And it includes major reconfiguration of, for example, 41st Avenue interchange. It's so close to Bay Avenue. I mean, the property owners, I should say the business owners that have the auto plaza there, are going to see a whole new configuration. We're going to lose Carpo's in the Creekside Industrial.
Oh, no, not Carpo's.
That's right. I hope Mr. Carpo's listening.
Oh, well, then forget it. Then I am absolutely against the widening.
Right. I mean, that's a very popular, it's a very popular place. But, you know, and that's not just at that one intersection. But, you know, we're talking about adding huge sound walls. It's going to change the whole view, the whole look of that stretch, because it's going to be it's the biggest public works project this county will have ever seen.
Okay, and if I know you have said a number of times on this program already that it is your strong belief that widening the freeway will not solve the problem.
Right.
If you did believe that it would solve the problem, would you be in favor of it, even putting up with these high, you know, sound walls and the different look and so forth?
If these other alternatives were implemented first, I'd be in favor of it. And let me tell you some other alternatives. We need to improve our transit. We need to improve our transit system to get people to UCSC and to Cabrillo. Those of us, and anybody that drives Highway 1 knows what happens when Cabrillo session starts. Is that the traffic is, you know, it's just like if somebody opens the door and they let a bunch more cars on a freeway. When Cabrillo is out, it's a lot less of a problem. God knows UCSC has the same problem. I mean, we're cutting back on our metro transit because of costs, but we're talking about spending $500 million to widen the highway. I mean, we could spend a fraction of that to beef up our transit system. We should have some kind of vehicle picking up students and taking them to Cabrillo almost on demand.
Yeah, I'm going to take the place of a television camera, which would be nice if we had a television camera here in the radio studio. Maybe with the internet and the webcam we'll do that one day. But Ken's head was shaking here with what you just said. Ken, say a few words here and let us know why you don't agree with what Paul just said.
Well, I don't fully disagree with what he's saying.
Oh.
In fact, I agree with a good part of it. But the fundamental point is, Paul's correct, the freeway is broken. It's been broken for a decade. Let's fix it. Fixing the freeway by itself is not going to be a panacea to solve all transportation problems for the county, but it will solve the largest transportation problem. Putting metering lights on the highway may be a good idea, but we're talking about a roadway that was engineered in the 1950s and built in the early 60s, and it's not built to current standards. Simply putting metering lights on existing ramps might work in a couple interchanges. A on-ramp has to be long enough to allow acceleration after stopping at a metering light. The southbound on-ramps, for example, at Morrissey Boulevard, couldn't do it. In today's configuration, you could not put a metering light on there and safely accelerate.
You're right.
Yeah. Onto the freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very short. it's going to be an engineering challenge. I think your estimate of cost is a little high. A concrete example, if you'll pardon the pun, Santa Clara County is just finishing project of, it's been going on for 3 or 4 years, of widening Highway 880 near Brokaw Road. That was another case where a freeway was broken and traffic regularly stopped there, came to a standstill, would come to a dead stop on Sunday mornings. And alternative transportation wouldn't bypass that roadblock. It had to be widened. So it's being done. It's being completed just now. And the cost was about $73 million for a two-mile stretch. $36 million per mile. That's a lot of money. But if we're going to go 9 miles from the Fish Hook out to State Park Boulevard, that it computes to
$400,000. Yeah.
So your estimate of $500,000 is probably top end now. I don't see a $1 billion cost in my lifetime.
Okay, Paul, what's up?
Okay, well, I'm getting that from the testimony that we've heard at the Regional Transportation Commission meetings, that the total cost of the sales tax that we may be asked to approve will be a total of $1 billion. Now, just let me back up a little bit, and I want everybody to know how I got involved in this, being interested in what's going on in the freeway widening business. We were a couple of years ago, this whole thing came up again. Let's widen the freeway. And the proposal was that it would stop at State Park Drive. And to me, that was an absolute slap in the face. And it was all it was doing was moving the bottleneck down to Aptos.
From my neighborhood to yours.
Yeah. And wow. So that kept the cost down if you stopped it at State Park Drive. And then, I got more involved, and I looked at, well, that can't happen. I mean, that would really be throwing money down the tubes. And it would also be generating more surface traffic that's going off Fairmont. Now, by the way, I apologize because I use Fairmont.
And I
probably drive by your house.
You probably
and I've seen the, and I've seen the tow trucks there. So.
Well, you'll have to stop by and have crumpets with Ken sometime.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, to me, the whole, we can't talk about a phase one and phase two project. When the real project starts getting costed out, it can't be phase one and phase two. We have to know what the cost of the project, which is all the way to Larkin Valley Road.
Uh-huh. Well, no one will argue with that. So if you're going to do it, yeah, if you're going to do it right, is your point.
Right,
but
right.
You don't want them to do it, though.
But I want to see these alternatives explored first. And I have another alternative. The school districts don't have any money, and they're trying to survive, and they're cutting school bus service. I mean, they're closeting their school buses. I mean, we've got money to spend on freeways. Let's have money to refund the school buses, because who gets on the freeway and on the surface streets when we don't have school buses is parents taking their kids to school. And there, you can see it as soon as the school bus stops being used, that there's a car for each one of those kids.
So before we run off half-cocked with something that's going to be very, very expensive, whether it's a half $1 billion or whatever, look at alternatives that will be much less expensive. That's your point, right?
That's my point. And another alternative, which is farther out, is the another controversial subject, is the acquisition of the Union Pacific right-of-way. And we could, maybe that's a subject for another of your Saturday
Where is
special.
That? Where is that?
That's the rail that runs the length of the county from Davenport to Watsonville.
That's Union Pacific?
It's Union Pacific.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that. Here, all these years, I thought it was Southern Pacific. But
the citizens are a little schizophrenic or have a split personality on that, because this morning's Sentinel had a story about citizens of Aptos raising Cain with the Transportation Commission about opening a rail line. They were calling it a tourist trolley to run from Aptos Village to
Capitola. I remember that. We had a program or two. Yeah.
And I don't know if you were among the people that were opposing that, but the citizens of your community of Aptos got up in arms that they don't want any kind of rail traffic running between Aptos Village and Capitola. So the talk of acquiring the railroad, that might be, it might add some to transportation, but people are opposing that also.
Well, the tourist rail right now is it's a placeholder. It's needed to get Prop 116 funds to complete the purchase of that rail corridor. It involves $11 million of state funds that can be used for nothing else except rail transit. Matching funds are required by Santa Cruz County Regional Transportation Commission, and they're in place right now. So we're talking about a $22 million purchase. There's been long discussions with Union Pacific and the county on making that transition. I was at the meeting at the Seacliff Inn with the people that were speaking out against it. They were probably, Heather's article in the Sentinel was, I would, between 200 and 300 people there.
It was Thursday or Friday?
Thursday evening at 7. There was a show of hands was called for by one of the speakers about who was for, and she was right. About a third of the people raised their hands that said they were for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get up and rant. That's a bad word. They vented. They vented. These are people who have the misfortune of having houses built right up next to the railroad tracks. And, you know, I got to say that I wouldn't be too excited about a train if it was going to be a regular event, like a real train. The tourist trolley is right.
We are very spoiled out here in California, in Santa Cruz land. There are so many people to whom that is a way of life back in the East where they have, or in places even in the Bay Area, as close to the Bay Area where we have BART, where they have these elevated, BART trains that are right in people's backyards. And this is just, so no one wants to live with that.
The acquisition of that rail line is, it's an attractive possibility.
Right.
But developing one form of transportation shouldn't be done to the exclusion of other forms.
And it wouldn't be.
Well, I think Santa Cruz County can learn from other counties in the state, and from Santa Clara County particularly, where, because of the population there, the county was building a light rail system and simultaneously building freeways.
Right.
We have not said anything about opening the phone lines, and we already have 479-1080 lines jammed. We have nobody on the 477-1340 line, so if you want to start calling, call 477-1340. It's the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and special guests Paul Ellerick and Ken Lane. We're talking about the widening of the lanes. No. We're talking about the widening of Highway 1. Yay or nay? Paul says nay, at least at this point, until we've explored other less costly alternatives, because he doesn't believe it's going to solve the problem. And Ken says, Ken respectfully disagrees with that. He says, we've got to at least attack it, try to solve the problem by widening, by doing the obvious. So what do you think? Give us a call at 477-1340. We're going to open the phone lines right after this group of commercial messages where our pilot in command, Noah, will take control right now. Take it away, Noah.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick. I want to tell you why I stand behind Dr. Wallach's American Longevity products. Strength, purity, quality without compromise. Every bottle of American Longevity Majestic Earth Minerals contains 19,000 milligrams of all plant-derived colloidal minerals taken from only one source, leached out with only pure water. Give your body what it needs, and you'll be amazed at how good you can feel. Now about me. I'm a full-time homeschooling mother of four. And even in these uncertain financial times, I pay the mortgage in one of the most expensive places to live in the U.S. How? My American Longevity home business. The most flexible, profitable, and enjoyable work I've ever done. I'd really love to talk to you. So if you're in the San Lorenzo Valley, call me. I'm at 831-335-3216. That's 335-3216. Talk to you soon.
They make us laugh, improve our health, offer love and companionship. What are they? Animals, of course. If you're interested in animals, then tune in to Kitty and Rihanna's Animal Talk Show, Sundays at 2 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO. We talk about all animals from A to Z. That's Animal Talk with Kitty Fields and Rihanna, Sundays at 2 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO.
It's the Bob and Spence Show. Join them every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 when the two funniest hosts this side of the Pacific Ocean bring their right and left brains to what's happening in the world of politics, media, and high technology. We guarantee this hour will be more fun than dead air. It's 1 p.m. every Tuesday right here on KSCO AM 1080.
It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be, KSCO.
And it's not just plain KSCO, it's KSCO with Ken Lane and with Paul Ellerick and with MZ, and we're talking about the widening of Highway 1. What do you think, yes or no, and tell us why? 477-1340, the phone number to call. And we do have callers on 479-1080. So let's go to the phones right now and take our first caller. That would be Marco in Santa Cruz. Hey, Marco, welcome to the KSCOAM 1080 Saturday Special.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
All right, I lost my notes, but so we'll ad lib it. First of all, the reason that widening the highway is not going to change the problem is because the highway is not the problem. You know, you talked briefly about alternatives like public transportation, perhaps privately owned, you know, governments that are pro-solutions of that nature, carpooling, of course, if people want to get off their duff and organize instead of having more traffic. Robert Moses, who's pretty much acknowledged as the greatest mind when it comes to road building, those of you that are old enough would recall that he designed most of the highways in New York and set up the whole transportation system for the World's Fair. And what Robert Moses discovered after about 20 years of building roads is that the limiting factor is people's patience, not the number of lanes. And if you increase the number of lanes, what you'll get is increased capacity, increased pollution and noise, and you'll cut down on the time of travel by 0%. Because immediately, the number of people that are willing to wait or commute that hour will increase with the lanage, and you just have a bigger problem and no solution. Now, your guest, is it Ken, that said that he agreed that something should be done, but what he talked about was safety issues. And I agree that Highway 1 has safety problems, and those can be addressed. But to address Highway 1 as the answer to the problem of too much traffic, is your first guest is correct. It's simply not going to be the solution.
When did you change your name from Mark to Marco?
Oh, you know, when I call Rosie, I'm Marco. And we've since moved from the valley into town, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you're more of a Marco-sounding guy.
Well, yeah.
More, Santa Cruz is more of a Marco-type place than the San Lorenzo Valley, probably, right?
Well, I suppose, unless you're Mexican, you know, then you're Marcos.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
thanks for calling to make that point, Mark.
Sure. You take care.
Oh, okay. Take care. Hey, Robbie the gun guy who was on line three was going to be next up here, but he must have got fed up waiting or something or didn't want to hold. But if you want to call back, Robbie, we'll try to get you back on. We'll try to get you on. Let's go to our next caller, Mark in Watsonville. And I think I gave the wrong impression before. It was the right impression that our phone lines were jammed at 479-1080. But now this is the last caller. Okay, so 479-1080 or 477-1340 will connect you to our Should the Highway 1 Be Widened or Not KSCO Saturday Special. Mark in Watsonville, go.
Hi, good morning. You know, your gentleman, the gentleman talking are ignoring the current reality of the situation, and I'm calling from Watsonville. Down here in Watsonville, this year alone, we're building 1,400 new housing units. In the next 7 years, we're going to build 5,000 housing units down here. We just submitted our state housing plan. There's going to be another 12,000 homes built in this area in the next 20 years. These people in Watsonville, they need to commute. They go up to the Santa Cruz, they go over to Silicon Valley, and you're ignoring them totally in this equation, because they are not going to take the train, which goes to the boardwalk. They need to go elsewhere in the
county.
That's
because we wanted you to call.
The other thing, the economy of Santa Cruz County, it's hurting. The last 3 years, tourism is way down. And the problem is, tourists come over here. Who wants to come on a Sunday on a day trip and sit in a traffic jam? Another thing also is out on Delaware Street, you have the empty Texas Instruments, you have empty Lipton Soup, all those industrial buildings sitting out there. One, they cannot get the raw materials to their plants because semis cannot get there, and two, the workers can't get to the facilities. So Santa Cruz itself is hurting. Another thing that's happening is this traffic calming philosophy where they've taken surface streets such as Soquel and made part of them into bike lanes, put planters and trees out in the lanes, and they're narrowing them down. So the alternative of bypassing Highway 1 on a surface street is basically being eliminated. All these things are working against traffic flowing through the county. And unfortunately, the only solution, and for us down here in Watsonville, if you want us to continue working in Santa Cruz, continue to come up and shop or use restaurants or movie theaters, because we can go to Gilroy, we can go to Salinas and get there quicker, is a more wide highway. And that is the current reality. You know, we...
Okay, Paul really wants to go to work on you, Mark, so go ahead.
Well, actually, I just want to comment on Mark. You know, Mark, the 14,000 new homes that are being planned for Watsonville, you know, I'm aware of that. And for the life of me, I don't know how all that traffic is going to be accommodated. But I have one idea that might help. If you look into the plan for the Pajaro train station, there will be passenger service available to Silicon Valley within a few years. I don't know whether that's within the lifetime or within the building cycle for the 14,000 new homes, but for the people that need to commute from Watsonville to Silicon Valley, ride the train. It's going to happen.
You know, what's ironic about that is the North Coast County Supervisor, Marty Wormhout, has come out in opposition of that train station being developed.
But in any case, it's going to get developed, and it's going to benefit people that live in Watsonville. Probably, I think I've seen the figures that they're going to be the majority of the people from Santa Cruz County, as a matter of fact, are going to use that train.
And the population shift is going to the South County, where we're going to be the larger population area. And I believe Santa Cruz may stagnate in that I do not go up to the town because it's too hard to get there. It's quicker for me to go to Monterey to go shopping. And I don't know if the city leaders of Santa Cruz are realizing what they're developing up there. But I'm telling the powers that be of Santa Cruz County, don't ignore Watsonville. And I'm the first person to even bring it up in today's discussion.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. That happens repeatedly, that Watsonville gets left out of the equation. And
It's the elephant in the living room right now, and like I said, there's going to be a huge population growth down here, and they need a transportation system they can utilize, and a train to the boardwalk is not going to cut it if you want them to either work in Santa Cruz or come up and do business.
Mark, thanks for your call to the Saturday Special. You want to comment real quickly, Ken?
He raises some excellent points, and he points out reality. The fact is, I know the neighborhoods that he's talking about, and those houses are going up now. They're being occupied now. Families are settling in. Families need to travel, a good many of them, on the highway. Highways, urban and suburban freeways, are built to serve existing populations. We have a growing existing population in Watsonville, and it's not being served.
I think there should be tax benefits extended to companies that are willing to go the extra mile, no pun intended, to have telecommuting, to have more and more telecommuting, to have more and more jobs that can be done without people having to get on the road to go. I've been commuting a 30-second commute since 1979. I feel sorry for the people who have to commute, and there's more and more people with technology able to do that, and I think companies should be encouraged to promote that.
Well, I have done it. I have telecommuted. You have, and I expect Paul has also. But people who work in a semiconductor fab shop cannot telecommute. Construction workers cannot telecommute.
Right.
It serves some industries well. It doesn't serve others
at
all.
Sure. But what their employers can do is they can offer a cash out to encourage people to carpool. People that have to go I mean, employers need to, like Michael pointed out, need to be part of this equation. And, you know, they can encourage people to carpool by paying them not to drive their cars.
The biggest company in the Bay Area in the 1980s, Lockheed, tried to do that. In fact, even subsidized, bought vans for workers, and it turned out to be a token effort. It was show and window dressing.
Hmm. Well, I saw a lot of those show and window dressing buses leaving in the parking lots in Mid-County in the heyday of Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were like multiple buses.
It was a small fraction of the workforce
that live here. Right, but there were a lot of people on those buses.
I don't know if this is Noah speaking for himself or if he is writing the sentiments on the computer board here from someone who didn't want to go on the air, but it says the bureaucrats that design the roads don't drive, therefore they do not care about the ridiculous design of the fishhook. Well, that couldn't have been Noah. He must have been writing that from somebody who called in, right?
That was not me, Michael.
Okay, yeah, because that doesn't make any sense. How does this person know that the bureaucrats that design the roads don't drive? Anyhow, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We're talking about the widening of Highway 1. Should that happen, yes or no? It is 9 minutes before 11 a.m. Coming up, we have what we call a tease. This is a tease in the radio biz, gang. This is a tease. If you want to hear Kay's latest editorial, it's coming up at the top of the hour here. It's actually, we're not calling it an editorial anymore. We're calling it a commentary. We're calling it Kay's commentary. So that will happen after the top of the hour here, and it's a really good one this time. Yeah, Paul, what's up?
Can I get one comment back to Mark in Watsonville?
Yeah.
No, he mentioned the fact that people don't want to drive to Santa Cruz, you know, to see the boardwalk and sit in traffic. You know, that should be a natural pitch for the tourist recreational train. People would love to bring their kids over here on a weekend, park their damn cars, and take a tourist trolley from see Capitola Beach, see Seacliff Beach, see the boardwalk. And this is natural. There are people there, working families in Silicon Valley that work 5 days a week, two parent families. They probably make, you know, they can easily make $100 an hour between them. $9 for a train ride, which I believe what it's costed out is, you know, it's certainly within the budget. They'd love to park their cars and see Santa Cruz County on a tourist trolley.
Where is this train going to run, and where are they going to park the cars?
They've got this. Their place has been allocated to get the cars off the track. The trains from the freight trains aren't going to go away. I mean, that's a difficult scheduling problem.
We're gonna go back to the phone lines, and we're gonna stay with the phone lines for a while because this is an audience participation interview program. I've been inviting people to call in. So unless someone wants to sort of take issue with Ken or with Paul, let's sort of stick to the phones for a while. Now here's Carolyn in SoCal. Is this the Carolyn that I think it is?
Of course it is, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Carolyn Busenhardt. I haven't heard from you on the radio in a while.
I haven't called in a long time.
I hope it's not because you're mad at us.
No, of course not.
Good.
I just actually haven't been listening to a lot of radio. I watch TV more during the day now. Isn't that terrible to
yes.
tell you?
Yes,
anyway,
it is.
Anyway, the reason I called is it's so disgusting to me that this county has always been at least 20 or 40 years behind its time in their planning, if you want to call it planning. So in my opinion, this widening the highway to two lanes is absolutely ridiculous. We need to look to the future and widen two lanes in each direction for a total of four lanes. You've got to buy right-of-ways anyway, so you might as well buy enough that you can plan for the future instead of always planning for the past. Which
that might be another alternative that Paul hasn't gotten to yet. Now, he wants to talk. Do you want to talk to poor Paul here?
I don't care.
Okay. I want to comment on the four-lane option each way. The four-lane option each way is just an incredible bottleneck generator. If you look at the south end of the county where it leaves us, there's a two-lane highway, and there are no plans.
Well, no, you don't do it all just till Rio Del Mar. You do it to Watsonville.
I'm saying, go all the way to Watsonville.
Go past Watsonville if you have to where they have the Salinas Road thing. But you need to plan for this county's growth. You can't just have planning, if you want to call it planning, for 20 years hence or past. You need to do it for the future. And this county never does any planning for the future.
Well, all I'm saying is
it only does it for the past.
That's right.
All I'm saying, Carolyn, is that there's two natural bottlenecks. It's at Salinas Road, and it's at the Fishhook.
Well, the Salinas Road from there on is not our county's
That's
responsibility.
Right.
So that needs to be taken up with the state or with the other counties. It's after Pajaro, it's actually Monterey County.
Let me tell you.
Our responsibility is our county, and we can take care of our county by widening it to four lanes, two more lanes in each direction, because it's absolutely ridiculous to just plan for the past, because what we're planning for now doesn't even take care of today. It takes care of past traffic, not today's traffic. So you need to do it right and put two more lanes in each direction.
That the magnitude of that job of adding two lanes on each side of the road really raises the size of the project.
Of course it does. It
sort of boggles my mind, and here I'm the one who's in favor of widening the highway, to think of acquiring the right-of-way, doing the engineering work for that. But if that were done, and if it could be done, that kind of engineering and planning and acquiring of right-of-way would also allow the fish hook to be re-engineered completely, if not eliminated.
Of course.
And that bottleneck could be eliminated.
Of course. I mean,
but now we're getting real close to Paul's billion-dollar estimate.
But that's okay. It's going to be done anyway, and I don't know what the cost would be, whether it be $1 billion or not. It remains to be seen. But in the meantime, we have always been stuck in the past. Widening it to two lanes today does nothing for today's traffic, let alone for tomorrow's traffic. You need to take care of tomorrow's traffic.
Okay, Carolyn, it's always nice to hear from you. We have so many other callers, and only a few minutes left in this hour, so we're going to move on.
You guys talk too much, Michael. Get the callers on. Bye, sweetheart.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's right. Carolyn is absolutely right. You know, we should all learn a thing from, what'd you say?
We should all let the callers call.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, if I start ignoring you, when your finger goes up, Paul, you'll understand why here. All right. I was wondering why we weren't getting any calls from Monterey County. We have a big signal over there. And guess what? Just as I was wondering that, guess what gets written on the screen? Line one, Steve and Salinas. Now listen, Richard N. Watsonville, Kirk and Felton, Population Pat, and Marcy in Santa Cruz, don't go away. We're just going to go to Steve and Salinas here because he's calling long distance and we're sensitive people about people's wallets. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Michael. I wondered if your two guests had ever heard of Raytheon's single-car monorail concept that they had in northern Illinois they were testing about 7 years ago. Have they heard of that? Single-car monorail.
No, I haven't. Heads are shaking.
I haven't.
Nor have I.
Well, I'm sure you could go online and check it out, but really, you were talking about Cabrillo and Santa Cruz, UCSC, and even over the hill and down on your right-of-way, your railroad right-of-way. How many single cars, how many single passenger cars do we have on 1 and 17? It must be phenomenal. And,
yeah, that's true, and there are no diamond lanes. Hey, that's what they should do.
Oh.
They should make one of the two lanes a diamond lane. Hey, that's a great idea. No, seriously, a lot of people would start carpooling there.
Lord, I'm glad I'm retired.
Uh-huh. That is an option, by the way.
Why not?
I think it should be a pay lane.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
A pay lane. That's a better idea.
That didn't fly.
A fast track.
The pay lane didn't fly.
Paul says no to the pay lane.
No, it didn't fly. It's been examined.
I see.
It's been examined, and the Regional Transportation Commission decided that it was not the way to go, and it's out of the plan. It was looked at. It was studied for probably years.
I think it would go a long way to discouraging, to cutting back on pollution, cutting back on traffic accidents and fatalities, and a long way towards encouraging telecommuting, which I think should, as I've said before earlier in the program, should be encouraged by tax credits or tax advantages to companies that encourage that or set up, make it easier for their employees to come and go electronically, as it were. 479-1080, 477-1340. Those are the phone numbers for you to get through to us here on the Saturday special right here on AM 1080. KSCO, let's go to Richard N. Watsonville real quick. We'll hold you over, Richard, if it takes more time. You're on.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I think these people are a bunch of crybabies, and they've got it too damn easy, man. I mean, if you guys want to play around with the highways, why don't you just cut some holes in the cyclone fence that you put up before you made it two lanes on each side? Remember the little roads that used to go to the highway, Mike?
Which ones?
Well, there was one there where that par 3 golf course was at, in the Sticky Wicket. You just turned right off the highway.
Mar Vista.
Sticky Wicket.
I mean,
Mar Vista.
We used to,
okay. Hey, Richard, we're going to have to hold you. Stay there, okay? Don't go away. KSCO Santa Cruz, KLY Watsonville. Here's the news back in 6 minutes.
The following is KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
It all started about 40 years ago in our pristine, incredibly beautiful and peaceful Santa Cruz, population about 15,000. While many rejoiced when the UC Regents chose Santa Cruz for their new campus, I felt uneasy, sensing that this quiet little piece of heaven would never again be the same, and that the changes would not be for the better. Despite my opportunity to enter the new campus as a re-entry student, the political environment I encountered confirmed my fears that in some ways UCSC would prove to be our deterioration or even our nemesis. The UC plan was to make the Santa Cruz campus a cluster of small colleges patterned after Oxford in England, where the free exchange of ideas between faculty and students would encourage inquiring young minds to flourish. The small colleges did become a reality, but the young minds were not allowed to flourish, at least not in the political sciences department. Conservative students taking part in KSCO programming confirmed that fact. They felt stifled, intimidated, and ostracized. Some professors in political sciences called themselves the New Left and made sure their students understood the Marxist philosophy and did not, I repeat, did not encourage dialogue from students with differing points of view. One professor, Michael Rodkin, decided to run for city council and make Santa Cruz a model for his doctoral dissertation, which was How to Create a Socialist City. He was elected, became mayor at least twice, got elected again, and still makes policy for us. One could admire the tenacity of purpose of Rodkin and other leftist newcomers who embraced Santa Cruz as their own and set out to make sweeping changes in our formerly conservative city, which, it should be noted, our previous leaders did not allow any pollution-producing industries. They were sensitive to the environment long before the lefties thought they had invented that concept. Among the new changes, Santa Cruz was declared a nuclear-free zone, whatever that means. War was rejected because it was hateful. Duh. Now, peace is patriotic, whatever that means. Our Navy ships are denied permission to come to Monterey Bay, and new businesses are discouraged, and the ultimate short-sighted foolishness, our leaders actually declined federal funds to widen Highway 17. It's deja vu all over again now. Our present city leaders, yep, still Rodkin and Cynthia Matthews, who are making careers out of serving on the city council, have just declined to participate with adjoining counties to help widen the gridlocked Highway 1. Santa Cruz has become a place not allowed to grow, but is growing anyhow, a place to bypass, a place run by liberal extremists who spend money foolishly and make many of us ashamed to admit that we live here. Back to around 40 years ago, the new left leaders let it be known to all the country's needy, that is, the real needy, whom most of us will always be willing to help, and the, by choice, able-bodied needy, that Santa Cruz was a great place to live and that our leaders were happy to provide for all their needs. In return, all that was expected from them was to continue to vote their benefactors into office. Word spread like wildfire, and now, decades later, what do we have? A stroll on the Pacific Garden Mall will reveal the appalling answer. Self-dignity and self-respect have been robbed from these gullible, able-bodied recipients still on the dole. A very large price to pay for years of accepting freebies. The deep satisfaction of independence and self-worth these poor souls will never know. Since 9/11, the world has forever changed. Global terrorism will have to be dealt with, probably forever. To deny that reality will be deadly. Literally. Now our country is buckling under the years of state, local, and federal excesses. Plus, open borders, validation of illegals, and rewarding them with amnesty and driving licenses, and the right to vote. Our leaders are ignoring the rule of law and making a farce of our Constitution. All for the almighty vote. Corruption is acceptable. Where do we go from here? Our role models are unacceptable. the prophetic parting words of my Cabrillo College history professor in 1967 continue to haunt me. His chilling prediction was that the United States will eventually become a third world country. What can we do to stop the madness? For KSCO and KOMI, this is Kay Swirling.
You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Noah James with your quick Central Coast weather forecast. Today, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Isolated thunderstorms are possible by late afternoon. This evening, rain, heavy at times, with isolated thunderstorms in the evening. All right, we now take you back to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. Stay with us.
A little foolish introducing the news at the end of the last hour. And then switching right to the commentary. But you know what? To hell with the news. Commentary is much more important, and it's much better than the news anyhow. Right on, Ma. You did a great job. It is 6 minutes past 11 a.m. Hour number two of the Saturday special is to begin presently.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby. But I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Yeah, I forgot to give out the fax number. That's 475-2967. And Noah, if you're up, since you're up there, I don't know if we have any faxes or not. No, we have no faxes, but I do have something to read. I do.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
But before I read that, let's go back to our good friend Richard N. Watsonville, okay? And if you want to talk to Richard, you just look in the white pages under W for Watsonville, and then first name Richard and middle initial N, Richard N. Watsonville. Here he is. Richard, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, I thought of something cute.
What?
How about a bike lane, a local lane, a getting the hell out of the area lane, and then your diamond lane? You know what I mean? I mean, these crybabies you got here on the air with you today, I almost agree with your mom, but, you know, I think...
Almost about what?
Well, when she said that UCA had a plan, when they came here with their plan, right? All I ever see out of them creeps is a bunch of eminent domain stuff, but I would have rather seen the nuclear power plant going up the North Coast, like they had originally planned. But, I mean, I'm sure your mother would agree with that.
I'm not ashamed to admit, man. Mark, call in 479-1080 and 477-1340. The nuclear power plant.
Right.
I remember there was this great at about the same time they had Clint Eastwood running for mayor in Carmel. There was this great bumper sticker that I came across that said, "No nukes, no heat, no lights," and I put that. That's great. What else you got, Richard?
Well, are you ashamed to admit you were born here, Mike?
Of course.
I'm not ashamed to admit it, man.
Sometimes I am, Richard. Sometimes.
I'm ashamed to see these houses they're building in the slough.
Uh-huh.
I'm ashamed to see what they've done between Santa Cruz and Highway and Watsonville on Highway 1. There was one time when there was no 41st Avenue Bridge going across. I mean, you took the exit on and off the highway, and if you had to cross the highway to the other side, you went across the highway, remember?
Right. Same thing with Marmonte, you know, same
thing. Right, Marmonte was the same way, exactly.
Right.
And here you got all this road work now so that the highway patrol can sit up there at the top and watch everybody speeding, and you got a guardrail going down the middle so nobody can get around when there's a damn wreck and everything's plugged up. You guys deserve this stuff. Not you personally, Mike, but guests that are
sitting
there.
Thank you for excluding me from the rest of the people in this
room. Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned Highway 17 a while ago. That whole thing is designed so that 880 can come on through and they can finally say we've got an interstate in this county, man. And we don't need no help down here getting out of Watsonville. We got, what, Summit Road, 152, 129, San Miguel, Highway 1, Freedom Boulevard, San Andreas Road. We've got plenty of ways of getting out of here, don't we? We're not hurting at all around here. We don't need to expand the highway.
If we just don't do anything with that highway, more people will leave, I think. This place was set up to be a tourist trap, man. We worked on the weekends, remember, and slept during the week?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Richard,
I mean, they come here during the summertime and get the hell out of here.
Ken, listen, what do you think about Richard's comments today?
I can't follow them.
Well, can you follow Mission Street north? And can you follow it down to Salinas Road to the south? Everything in between is real nice, prim, and proper, man. Everything after that is two lane. Go back to two lane. The only thing different about Mission Street now is all my friends that used to live down there have smaller front yards.
That is very different. Yeah,
that's
we
true.
Used to have, yeah.
And
we still have a crowded Mission Street. So what Paul is saying could be true, Ken. What do you think, Ken? Maybe Paul's on the right track here.
You know, a business owner that I know out on the north side that I used to do business with frequently referred to it as Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Still
Mission
is?
Mission Impassable.
It's never been impassable or impossible, man. I mean, that place is beautiful. And you can really step on the gas and get going because nobody's out there.
What are you
Mission
talking
Street?
About?
North of Mission Street, Highway 1 going north.
Oh, yeah.
North and Western Drive,
yeah.
That's where my son lives, on that...
Western Drive.
Yeah.
Listen to this, man. I remember when the population sign was right there at Young Love Street. You know, I mean, this is getting stupid.
That's moved about 2 miles north by now.
Yeah, I know, and they've increased the population, and the university has taken over Santa Cruz, and the home people that are born and raised here can just go to hell, right? And just pay the bill.
Richard, always an honor and a privilege to have you on the radio with us. When are you going to come down? It's high time we had you in the studio again for another Saturday special. Will you go behind a mic with us again?
One day soon. I'll see you later, man.
Okay, thank you. There goes Richard N. Watsonville. All right, it's 11 past 11, hour number 2 of the KSCO Saturday special. Who do we have long distance? Nobody. But let's go to Kirk in Felton, okay? Kirk in Felton, you are on the air on the KSCO Saturday special with Ken and Paul and MZ.
Hi, Mike. Before I put my 2 cents in, I just wanted to tell you I'm a first-time caller.
Well, bless you.
Well, I know you always enjoy that because I'm working usually and I can't call, and I hear you talking all the time on the Saturday special, and sometimes just calling for a first-time caller, you know, come on the line.
That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm always
welcome
working
aboard. So now you can then, after this, you might become a regular caller that I can abuse like all the others.
Actually, I have to go back to work. This is just one of those odd days. Anyway, my 2 cents is, I think it was a couple of years ago, in Reason Magazine, I was looking at an article where they were comparing adding a single lane to a freeway and adding light rail, and they were just comparing the number of people that can literally move, from point A to point B, and it was staggering. The freeway lane just outdid the light rail, and I mean, I couldn't believe the numbers I was seeing.
What happened to Mark Kirk and Felton?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, you must be on a cell phone.
I am on a cell phone. Anyway, what I was just saying is
we missed what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is the lane that they were comparing, adding one freeway lane and doing the light rail, the freeway lane could handle more than 10 times the amount of sheer people, and it also cut down on pollution because, you know, the cars weren't stop and go. It was an interesting study, and I wish I could remember exactly how long ago I'd seen that, but it was...
The point of it is light rail is not worth it, right? Because not too many people care.
I'm not against light rail myself, and I think it's a great thing, but it really doesn't carry the same amount of people as a freeway lane, and I was staggered by the numbers.
Okay. Hey, thanks for bringing that perspective, and do call again.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, there goes Kirk in Felton. Now let's go to Marcy in Santa Cruz. Marcy, you're on the KSCO Saturday special.
Good morning.
Hey there.
Hi, I just wanted to say that a lot of this discussion and dialogue is really immaterial. Going to be the people that are going to decide in a vote whether or not we want to pay for, and it doesn't even matter whether it's $500 million or $1 billion. It's going to be a half a cent. It's going to be 1% on the sales tax for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. It doesn't matter. You know, the cost sounds scary, but
Well, should it be done? Well, forget about the cost right now. Should it be done, yes or no? Or do
yeah,
you think
yeah, and you know who's sabotaging
so Paul,
it?
Paul is wrong that because he says it shouldn't be done because regardless of the cost, even if it was free, Paul thinks probably, you correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, even if it was free, it shouldn't be done because it's not going to solve the problem.
It's not going to solve the problem.
Does this guy have a real life? Does he have a job? Does he pick up kids? Does he go shopping? You know, does he go to doctor's appointments? You
all
literally
those.
Cannot
do
that.
I do all those things.
I'm glad. You know, you must have a lot of time to do it, though. Do you work?
I'm a retired guy.
Yeah, I know. That's what. That's my point.
I hope that's not a crime.
We're both retired.
No, I'm going to be retired soon myself.
Before you were retired, I presume you would have felt the same way.
Which is?
The same way you do now.
Yes.
I don't think anything's changed just because you retired. Am I right?
Nothing's changed. And you know, I don't like traffic any more than anybody else does. I want to see.
Yeah, but you have the option to stay out of it.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Marcy made a very good point just then.
I always try to stay out of it, but sometimes I have no option and I have to get in it just with everybody else.
But I'd like to add that I really think that the city of Santa Cruz has, the politicians have really tried to sabotage this whole thing. Number one, Christopher Crone's letter as a private party signed by the mayor of Santa Cruz himself that almost derailed any potential funding for this thing. Second thing is the
he was a very powerful man when he was a mayor.
Pulling
and of
out of the
he
task force.
He became a little more powerful when he was a talk show host on this station for a while.
Oh, God. I wish I could agree with you. Anyway.
Can I talk about the task force?
Anyway, pulling out of this task force, that is to bring it to the voters. You know, the city's shooting themselves in the knee, but they don't care because they're elitists. They represent students who, you know, they don't have real lives, and they're going to move on in 4 years. So anyway, those are just my comments, and I appreciate you bringing this topic to the airwaves.
Thanks for calling, Marcy. Do you have a question for Marcy before she leaves?
Well, I just want to clarify the JPA and the purpose of the JPA. It's to manage the highway widening process.
Yeah, and to bring it to the voters.
It's to manage the highway process. The fact of the matter is there will not be a project until that vote is passed.
That's right.
So it's
immaterial. It's to bring it to the voters.
Wait a minute. You just thanked us for doing the show. And now what you're saying would indicate that the show is a big waste of time because it doesn't matter anyhow.
What, me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's bring it to the voters. As long as people put pressure on the politicians to bring it to the voters, we'll decide one way or the other. And then we can all be happy knowing that the voters said yay or nay.
Right, unless the voters say the opposite of what you want.
That's democracy, and you believe in that firmly. I know you do.
Well,
you wouldn't have free airwaves, you know, airwaves for all of us to out and rant.
It's true. I'm just being silly now. Hey, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday Special, Marcy. A very intelligent caller, as are most of the callers to KSCO. Most of them, not all of them. You know who you are. You know who you are, the ones that I'm not including as intelligent callers. Why don't we go to a Susan in Corralitos, okay? I love it when women call because they definitely tend to be more intelligent, the most intelligent callers. Go ahead.
Well, I would think your mom should be included in that category. She made a terrific editorial at the beginning of the hour. I just wanted to tell you that she was right on point.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, I've been to a couple of the Transportation Council meetings, and I've also, unfortunately, been at the bus terminal in downtown Santa Cruz one afternoon where I spoke with somebody who was taking signatures for a petition about whether or not Highway 1 should be widened. And when I said Highway 1 should be widened, he put my name down on a separate petition than the other signatures that he had gathered. Now, that always makes me a little concerned because it's really easy to lose, you know, anybody who opposes your petition, it's really easy to lose that page if you don't include it in with the other comments. And I think what happens in Santa Cruz is that the process of getting feedback from people is so managed that the true feelings of the citizens in this county never gets heard.
Well, it does from this station, and we believe me, we are in a position to manage the news if we wanted to, like just about
everything. That's very true.
And we don't do it.
But in terms of widening Highway 1, I went to a meeting once that was held in Santa Cruz, and they actually had a court reporter there taking depositions from people about widening the highway and why it was important and how it's unsafe right now and that sort of thing. And if people would go to those meetings and get a court reporter legal statement that gets on the books that states some of the concerns that they have, that's a really good thing to do, and I would encourage people to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? I think court reporters should be... I think they should have audio recordings and video recordings before... And wait a minute. Ken is saying no. I think a court reporter can change what he or she hears.
That's true.
And can be biased.
Hopefully.
But I haven't met a tape recorder or a digital audio recorder yet in my life that's biased.
Yeah.
And they have a perfect memory.
They can lose 18 minutes at a time.
Yeah. Another thing that's important to bring up in the widening discussion is the fact that the city of Santa Cruz is paying people to densify their property. And if you go look on the county...
People to what? I'm sorry.
Densify their property?
Densify their property.
So if you apply for a building permit...
Which is a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Because what you will get then is even more congestion. You get more cars parked on the street because more people are trying to live in the same space that used to be a single family.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
What about the high cost of rents? I mean, the insanely high cost of rents. Isn't that a good way to deal with that problem?
Well, actually, it makes the cost of land go up again because now people, instead of purchasing a single-family home, are purchasing multiple unit homes, which are more expensive.
You know, Susan, you're just too damn smart for me. I mean, you know, you come up with you take away every argument.
Well, this idea of widening Highway 1 is really important. People also don't realize that all of the overpasses have to be rebuilt, too, if they want to widen it all the way down to Aptos or beyond, mm-hmm. because there isn't room under many of the underpasses to add extra lane. So what you're talking about, this
under
is a huge project, and by putting it off...
Paul says there's 9 overpasses.
Yeah. Now, some of them wouldn't need to be modified, but a good majority of them would.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about this is going to be a huge project. The more they put it off, it's going to hurt.
I've always been in favor of widening Highway 1, and I'm happy we're doing this program because I'm starting to be swayed the other way, but maybe it's because you're not talking very much, Ken.
Well, all of her points are well taken, and it sits there as an obvious problem that needs to be fixed.
And as a parent who was commuting over the hill and getting stuck on that fish hook and knowing that it was $1 a minute for every minute I was late picking up my kids from daycare.
My former boss had the same problem.
That,
you're right.
If you want to talk about an ulcer, that is a terrific way to get one. And, of course, your daycare provider... If you do that a couple of times, even though they're making $60 because you're an hour late, they drop you because they don't want you coming late all the time.
That's right.
So it just really screws up with people's personal economics. It screws up with business economics because highways are for commerce, right? You got to be able to move goods.
And
you can't pick up your kid from daycare on a bus, can you?
No, you can't, and you can't move goods on a light rail. That's for people. That's not for goods.
Well, people are goods.
Well, no.
There are some bad people. There are some
okay.
bad people. All right. So, hey, listen, Marcy, I didn't mean to play around, but and I make light of this, but, you know, it really is a very, very complicated issue, you know. And what you brought up in this conversation, it's just something else. I had no idea about the added cost of having to replace many of those bridges.
Well, that's all part of the job.
And putting it off just makes it worse.
That's true.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out the number of bridges is 9 in that 8¾-mile stretch.
And of them, how many have to be rebuilt?
I think all but one. The one on 41st Avenue that was built when they did the 41st Avenue overpass, I believe, was built to accommodate 3 lanes on each side.
I see.
It's all part of the job, and it's going to be an engineering project, but it needs to be done.
But that's what that's what puts the cost up there in a half a billion.
Yeah.
And we're also talking about the complete job going to Larkin Valley Road, we're talking about the problem with the rail trestles. There's, I believe, two or three rail trestles that overpass Highway 1.
That's very true as well.
There are two, yeah. That's in, yeah, they sort of loop into Aptos Village and so forth. 479-1080, 477-1340 are the phone numbers to call here to the Saturday special. It's 25 minutes past 11 a.m. If you're on the line now, like Population Pat in Santa Cruz, Gini in La Selva, and John in Aptos, we're going to get to you. In fact, we're going to get to John in Aptos right now. John, you're on the air on KSCO. Welcome.
Well, I'm certainly for widening Highway 1. It's broken now, and it won't get unbroken unless we widen it.
What about what Paul says about doing some of the stuff that won't cost nearly as much first?
Well, you know, every time the bus goes by, I think about how much I'm subsidizing that ride. Now, as far as light rail or the trolley, if the county buys the right-of-way, they're not going to get the freight rights. UP will keep those freight rights. So now we're going to subsidize the freight, and we're going to subsidize every little ride on the trolley car. I just don't see that as an alternative to moving people. It might be fun for some tourists on the weekend, but you're really not going to move commuters on that rail line.
But there's no subsidizing the tourist trolley. That's all private money.
Well, then it won't make it.
Well, the tourist trolley just failed.
I don't think that you realize the cost of maintaining a roadbed. It's enormous. And the UP will be more than happy to let Santa Cruz County buy it and maintain it. But they'll continue to run their freight trains over that line. And they're not going to give you money back. They're simply going to sell it to you and retain the freight rights. You will maintain it. The taxpayers of Santa Cruz will maintain that right away.
But they will not run the tourist trolley. That's the people at Roaring Camp that do such a great job with their tourist train up there in Felton.
Well, that's wonderful, but you're talking about millions of dollars to buy and maintain that line for a tourist trolley. Now, it just doesn't, it's just pie in the sky. I mean, nothing more I can say.
Okay, well, there's nothing more. We want to thank you for your call here to the Saturday special. There goes John and Aptos. Let's see. A caller says, the minute we found out the guests are retired, this show went down the tube. Well, and we don't have many phone callers all of a sudden. Maybe it has, yeah. And they started dropping off as soon as... Is there prejudice against retired folk?
Sounds like it.
Santa Cruz?
In Santa Cruz?
This is supposed to be a hate-free zone.
That's right.
You know, and a prejudice-free zone.
Supposed to be a place to retire in comfort.
Yeah.
Without traffic congestion.
Well, maybe it's because I haven't given out the phone numbers for a while. Actually, I think I did. Maybe it's because people are under the false impression that if they call, they're going to get a busy signal, which is not the case currently. Either on 479-1080 or 477-1340. There's only 31 and a half minutes left to this program, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to say your piece, I would recommend that you call now. 477-1340 is probably the best number to call in right now to get in. All right, let's go to Gini in La Selva. Okay, Gini, you're on the air.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, it sounds like Jeannie.
Yeah. Kay did a wonderful commentary, and I have to congratulate her. That was the best one I've ever heard. The policy guide for Santa Cruz County was passed Measure C in Local Agenda 21. And so we have to look at that policy guide of what they really want to do in Santa Cruz County. And in the Local Agenda 21, you can go under page 74, and it's transportation. And it says there, cars are not a sustainable mode of transportation in Santa Cruz County, period. And it also says by 2010, and that's on page 78, it says there will be no cars driven in Santa Cruz City. in other cities. And Santa Cruz is supposed to be a model for the rest of the world. And so what we see is there are benefits for having the rail. But living in La Selva Beach, we don't want it here. We're very much against it. But I hear Paul Ehrlich saying, well, you're going to get it. There's a bigger plan. And what I'm about to say,
I didn't
Michael.
I hear him say that. It's just an alternative to
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, I thought I heard him say that.
It's not like Mario Oblado said that better get used to it, everybody, that, you know, us Hispanics are taking over California, whether you like it or not. I haven't heard Paul with that kind of
thing. I did not
answer.
Say that, by the way.
Okay. So maybe misheard. But this is what I have seen in the international documents and the sustainable communities and livable communities. And mark my words, this will be coming up in the future. They are corralling us in, and they're bringing the parks down to the city, and that's your green space.
Okay, both of the people in the studio here, Jeannie, are giving me the rolling their eyes. And,
yes, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so
I love to see it.
Both indicating that they think your ideas might be a little far-fetched.
Yes, well, they should go to the international conferences and do research like I do, but this is what's coming in the future. There will be no car transportation in Santa Cruz County.
As bizarre as that sounds, let's go back to my mom's commentary for a minute, okay? Did you hear that part at the end where she said the chilling words of her Cabrillo College professor 30-something years ago were, the time will come when the United States will become a third world country? Unthinkable. Now,
yeah.
What Jeannie is saying right now is pretty unthinkable, don't you think? I mean...
Yes, but the comment about a third world country is not wholly unthinkable.
Well, it sure was unthinkable back then.
Yes, that's true.
But
it's not now.
Someone would have said that to you in 1967, wouldn't you? Would you have rolled your eyes probably more than you rolled your eyes with Jeannie's comments now?
Probably, but I'd like the author of the paper or document that she's quoting from, I'd love to know what he was smoking.
I've never taken drugs.
No, he's not talking about you, Jeannie. He's
yeah.
an author.
But see, this is how they try to discredit you, Michael. And I do have credibility in the international field and locally. And it's all documented. Just go to a local Agenda 21.
We are going to do this. We are going to do this. And you're our person. You're our person. We are going to do probably a Saturday special one day.
Now, let me go into the future, what's going to happen.
We don't have a whole lot of time. We want to keep on the subject here, which is the transportation.
The transportation.
We
but
really
this,
need
this
to.
Is a transportation, what's going to happen. There will be what they want is a train from Davenport to Watsonville connecting on to San Jose. There will be internal passes from one city, one sustainable city, to another sustainable city. And that is connected with Homeland Security Bill. So what it's becoming is a fascist police state, and we will be corralled in, and to get out of our community to use the light rail, we will need internal passes. That's already in the document, so they can roll their eyes, and I know I'll be right in about 5 years.
Wow. Okay. You know, we're going... I don't want this to come out the wrong way. Jeannie, you know that I respect you for the research that you do, okay?
Right.
And you know that I also feel, I mean, I'm willing to listen to you and think that, God, I hope you're wrong.
I hope
I'm wrong. But I'm also willing to acknowledge that you might be right because some pretty strange and awful things have happened.
Right.
But I think it would be a real interesting, and please don't take this the wrong way, a real interesting Saturday special. Is Jeannie crazy? Yes or no? You know?
I think you ought to put, is Jeannie credible?
Okay.
And that puts it in a positive light.
Okay, right. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Or maybe we'll make that, maybe we'll do that on the website. We have a question on the website on KSCO.com.
Yes.
And I can change our question from the current question, do you believe, yes or no?
Yes.
To this question.
Make it positive.
I will. I will.
Credible.
I will.
Thank you, Michael.
I will. Thank you. And I appreciate your call to the Saturday special. We do want to do a program, an in-depth program on this one day real soon. Thank you, Jeannie.
Very good.
Take care. Okay, that was Jeannie. Let's see. Kenny and Prunedale on a cell. And population, Pat, we'll get to you next, promise. Okay, go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, no, this is Ben. You got the great Ben, but...
the great Ben. Oh.
If you want to take it or wait, it's up to you, Michael.
Okay, well, fast, since we have you anyhow.
Okay, here we go. You mentioned that, you know, the America becoming a third world country.
My mother said that.
That's a very timely and relevant comment, because since 2001, we've lost 4.5 million jobs, and then they ballyhoo and ballyhoo about the in this new quarter about the creation of 170,000 McJobs, where you got to have three to have a pot of rice on your table, and then it's very timely.
Yeah, of course.
And then Mario Bladio saying that that Hispanics will take over. Well, you know what? Here in California, we are the indicator species. We're supposedly the bottom rung, but today us, tomorrow you, Michael.
By the way, Mario Oblado did call me this week.
Really?
Yeah, because we put the word out, I think it was last weekend,
yeah,
when we did the show on immigration. Was it last weekend or the weekend before? Anyhow, he called me this week because we put the word out that we wanted somehow to, if Mario was still active and around, we would like to hear from him. And he did call me, and he gave me his phone number, and he said he would be more than happy to participate in any one of our talk shows. Just give him some reasonable
notice. Well, you know, I'm proud of my race, but I am against illegal or violent or unsocial aggressive behavior on the part of my race because we're neighbors. And if the bomb drops in California, guess what? We're all going to die together. So why in the hell don't we learn to live together? But and to comment on your subject of the day, widening that highway to even 10 lanes means you got an instant 10-lane parking lot instead of a 2-lane. You got to be more look at Germany and Japan. They got those high-speed railways, and you can move people. We're only lacking the will and the cost.
Oh, the Shinkansen you're talking about, yeah, the bullet train.
Yeah, the anti-gravity train in Germany.
Or some would say the bullet train.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. We got to stop, get out of the stagecoach mentality and get on with the business of the day at hand. We got to think like tomorrow, not like yesterday. And I've said enough, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, your mother's comment, wonderful. And she's right. If we become the third world nation, we're the indicator species, but you're going down with us, sir. So, hey, let's fight for our country. It's not Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal. Just good Americans being good Americans and stop giving our damn money away to Iraq and give it to us whose money it is, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Okay, as promised, where is Pat? Oh, here's Population Pat. Okay, you're on the KSCO special, PP.
Hey. I like what your mom said, 15,000 people in Santa Cruz. It was pristine and beautiful, and I am in total accordance with that philosophy. And what I do is nothing more than try to achieve what your mom so eloquently described.
Oh, okay.
So how are we going to get there? Well,
mandatory sterilization
is the...
make it a felony to have sex.
Okay, no.
Where there's conception.
Take all your cheap shots, and then we'll get back.
No, it's not a cheap shot.
Yeah, it is, but I can handle it.
Jack,
I got a sense of humor. I can handle abuse, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Regular callers to the Saturday special get abused.
Hey, like I say, no problem. So, since 100% of our population growth is now coming from immigration, your mom also was right on in suggesting that we better get serious about enforcing our immigration laws, not out of hatred of immigrants. I mean, I've been through this with Ben, the last caller. Hey, Ben, I really like you. I mean, for the most part, you piss me off a little bit, but I mostly like you. But nevertheless, if you're going to get slandered as racist and all the rest of it for trying to come to terms with endless population growth when it's coming entirely from immigration, then call me a racist. But, you know, we got to deal with endless growth because you can't have it in a finite place. Carolyn Busenhart suggested widening two lanes on each side. Well, I'll go you one better, Carolyn. If we aren't going to stop population growth, let's just pave the whole county, literally, because we could do mathematically project how long it would be before that's the transportation requirement we would have. And it would be a surprisingly short amount of time because that's the way exponential growth works. So I'll leave you with that because I know it's the time's getting short here. But please take what I say seriously. I am not a nutcase.
Thank you. There goes population, Pat. It's 20 minutes before noontime. 20 minutes remain on the Saturday special today. So if you want to call us, good number to call now is 477-1340. Speaking of calling, this is something I have to do. I just have to do this, okay? It's been bugging me. Okay. I don't know what. Yeah, I just have to call out. We don't call out very often on the KSCO Saturday special. But we're going to call out now because I have a very good reason.
Message.
Hello? Is this a recording? I haven't heard a beep yet. There's a beep. Okay, yeah, this is MZ from the KSCO Saturday special. I'm calling Die Fasnacht, Fasnacht, at 476-7905. I'm just wondering what your fax means. You send it just about every week, and all it says is water in great big capital letters with four exclamation points. And then it says Die Fasnacht, Fasnacht. Noah handed this to me, and I said, what does it mean? He doesn't know either. He shrugged his shoulders. So I figured I would call the number at the top of the fax, and maybe we'd get some sort of explanation. Listen, Die Fasnacht, I don't know who you are, but I would appreciate it if you would call, if you would be a little more... give us some more details. Let us know what you mean when you send a fax every week to the Saturday special that says water with exclamation points. Now that we've handled that, let's... Noah's too busy answering screening phone calls to do a commercial break. So let's go to our next caller, Downtown Al. What is this? He's not talking to me. Okay, Downtown Al in Santa Cruz. Then we're going to go to Bill in Monterey. And Joe and Salinas. Hello, Downtown Al. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. Good show as usual.
Thank you.
And I think Jeannie's like 10 times worse than Ben. She's fixated on this Agenda 21. I don't doubt for a second that, you know, people have had all sorts of fantasies how they're going to plan the future. But, you know, when I was a little kid and I remember going to the World's Fair back in New York, we were supposed to be living under the sea and taking vacations on the moon and walking on Mars and, you know, everybody's going to ride in monorails and eat synthetic food and wear disposable clothing that we burned in an incinerator. And I don't see any of that. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that goes on in some of these focus groups or brainstorming type sessions, whether they're with the UN or
futurists. We are going to put that question on the website. Is Jeannie
from LaSalle
credible? Yes or no?
Well, I believe some of the stuff's probably written up somewhere, but so what? Most of it's not going to happen.
Okay.
So I wouldn't let her go on that long. Anyway, and some of it may make sense. I don't know. But, you know, I've got as many credentials as anybody else. I was a student here. You know, I was one of those carpetbaggers that came up from Southern California because they destroyed where I lived. I lived in San Bernardino County where it was beautiful citrus groves, used to walk to school, ride my bike to school, that type of thing when I was a kid.
May I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
Oh, okay. So you were a kid a while back.
A long time ago.
Did you move directly here from San Bernardino?
No, I'd lived in Arizona and other places.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. I
didn't mean to knock you off track there.
Oh, no. No problem. So, you know, I've seen a few things. But, you know, these people that think that trying to solve the problems the same old way by widening the highways, that's not going to solve it. It solves it for a while. It's great when you get that open stretch for a while, but within a few years with population growth and whatever, you're back to the same old problems again. And rapid transit is not going to solve it all either. You know, I'm one of these people, it's like, so what if we're all driving electric cars and fuel cell? It's still going to be crowded. It's going to be nice and clean and quiet and crowded. You're still going to hear the drum of tires on the road. There's got to be some other solutions. And one of the things, I tuned in late, but I didn't hear anybody talking about it. It's, I believe it's called PRT, or Personal Rapid Transit. It's a form of rapid transit where instead of everybody climbing on a one vehicle, because then what happens is you have to go to designated stops, and they go past where you want to get off, and you have to backtrack to get to it, and every time one, you know, idiot is fumbling for their change or whatever, everybody has to wait there at the same time. It's really inefficient to transport people in light rail and buses in a lot of ways, even though I support somewhat. The personal rapid transit system is a light type of thing where they have these individual little pods that run along in places. It's been tried in various university campuses and other things.
Look, if I were in charge, I would say no to the light rail. Because everywhere I've seen, around here at least, that has a light rail, it's just a waste. Hell,
well,
even BART is empty most of the time.
I spend
a lot of time in the Bay Area.
I know. It'll start to work in certain places if you have enough population density.
Yeah.
Like, infilling is a good idea. And I like it for a number of reasons. One is, it isn't just some developer coming from out of town who's doing it. It's individuals who want to build granny units. I'm all for that type of thing, where people have freedom in their personal lives. If they want to build houses on the back of their lot, go for it. But there need to be some other solutions, because widening it is just not going to do it. I don't care how clean the vehicles are, the buses. It's a complicated issue with population control and whatever else. But
okay, Al. You're very articulate.
Okay.
We love you, but
and,
enough,
you know,
already.
Okay.
We got to move on. Thank you for calling. What, Paul?
Well, I was just going to mention that the Campaign for Sensible Transportation is, we promote things exactly what, was that Al?
Yeah, that was
when
Al.
Al mentioned.
Yeah, downtown, you know, Al.
Downtown Al, PRT has got potential for solving some of our problems. Bus rapid transit has potential for solving some of our problems. You know, the city of Honolulu and the island of Oahu is they're advancing in bus rapid transit. That's in their plan. They have it funded. You know, and it solves the problem with people fumbling for change. They have ticket booths. It's another tool to get people around without waiting in line for big cars.
Okay, thank you. As promised, our next caller will be Bill in Monterey. Bill, you're on the Saturday special. Hey there.
Hey, Mike. Hey, the buses down here in Monterey are empty. They might as well be driving a step van around that has a seating capacity for 12 people, and then they almost reach capacity.
Yeah. People around these parts don't seem to take to so-called rapid transit or public transit, like they do back east. You know?
Yeah, well, it's denser. That's the big thing.
The reason.
The thing with these commuter lanes, I go up to San Jose. I travel all around during the day. And the commuter lanes, they're empty. People are waiting bumper to bumper, and somebody's driving by in the commuter lanes like every 3 minutes, for God's sakes.
I would like someone to make friends with me so that I could have a second person, not a dummy, in the car with me so I could go in the diamond lanes. Because the diamond lanes seem to be worthwhile. And I never have another person. What'd you say, Ken?
Let me know the next time you go over there.
Okay.
Go along with you.
Okay.
And
all
Mike,
right.
we're spending 40 cents a gallon, roughly, on taxes.
Yeah.
20 cents goes to the Fed.
It's almost as much as, about half as much, or no, quarter. Whatever. I know what you're saying.
Now, it's my understanding that the politicians are spending that money in the general fund. So we got the highway money funded. If those idiots would stop spending on other programs, we could have our highways. And Highway 1 should definitely be four lanes on each side. And the fish hook got to be totally redesigned. And let's just hope the engineers who originally designed it aren't on the payroll of the state anymore, because they're idiots.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call of the Saturday special. That was Bill in Monterey. We're going to go to Joe in Salinas. Real quick, Joe. You're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, well, my biggest problem here is that I lived in Germany, I lived in Japan, and I'm originally from Chicago. I had a lot of experience with this light rail and buses and whatnot, and the most important thing I could say about what's happening with Highway 1 is it needs to be widened. The number one reason is that when the road is widened, a lot more traffic can use it. And when the traffic isn't using it, it's not costing the taxpayers any more money. Whereas light rail is going to be taking up space, just like an extra lane would,
right,
but only designated or X number of people.
So you don't necessarily disagree with Paul that it won't solve the problem, because Paul could very well be right that if you widen it, it'll just fill up and still be a parking lot.
Well. No.
But you're saying it should be done because we just for an economic reason that was to accommodate more.
It's more feasible
commerce.
to widen the highway.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Yeah, that was Joe and Salinas. It's 11 minutes before 12 noon. Hey Noah, can we kill the promo? What do we have without promos? Do we have a minute or two, or something like that? Okay. 2:30. Oh, okay, good. All right, before we go to that, stay with us here, Noah. Someone called and said I was a nice person because I did that petition years ago. Is that, yeah, about the telephone? And that they want to do the same thing with Santa Cruz to Watsonville calling. I need to explain that I had nothing to do with the toll-free calling. So Watsonville may now call Santa Cruz, and it's a local number, but the reverse is not true. Okay, I had nothing to do with that. What I had everything to do with was getting the 684 prefix reclassified from a Watsonville number when Watsonville was a long-distance call to call Santa Cruz. I had everything to do with that. Someone suggested that we do the same thing to correct another inequity, and that is that Watsonville may now call Santa Cruz toll-free, but the reverse is not true. And for any of you who think that that would be a good idea, shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com. If I get enough of them to... Because, you know, a lot of people do call from Watsonville to Santa Cruz, but the reverse might not be true. But if there's enough interest there, then we will, KSCO will actually help put out a petition to...
I'll be the first on that list, Michael.
Oh, really? Okay. Probably. Yeah, it doesn't seem fair that one, but I believe I gotta check into this. I believe that that everybody in Watsonville has to pay an extra 90 cents on their monthly phone bill, even if they don't regularly call Santa Cruz. So if the people in Santa Cruz are willing to do the same thing, I'll bet they'd be able to get Watsonville declared a toll-free call too.
Well, we'll be second on your list.
Okay. All right. mz@ksco.com if you're interested in putting some more equality into the toll tariffs here for telephones. It's the Saturday special, 9 minutes before 12 noon. We've got Jim and Bonnie Doon, William and Aptos. Steve Fasnacht called and said Jeannie is crazy. Now, wait a minute. Listen, do you know that's really the right person, or it's just someone who gave a name?
You know, I don't know. It seems somewhat like a prank phone call.
I think
call.
It was a prank phone call, and I don't think Jeannie is crazy. I think she's a hero, actually, and no one works like she does, and we are going to put that up on the website here. But the water guy means that water is a big problem here, and so... I still don't understand that. I mean, I guess you could fax that in. You could say water to anything and have this this mysterious meaning or something. Anyhow, let's take the 2.5 minutes worth of commercial breaks. Then we'll come back. We'll take the rest of the callers. If you're not on hold right now, don't bother to call in. If you are on hold, we promise we'll get to you. It's the Saturday special, and we're in the home stretch, so stay with us.
My name is D.O. Roberts, and I was a customer of Dr. Wallach's products before becoming a distributor in April of 1997 when he introduced American Longevity to the country. The products have helped me so much that I want to share my story with you. American Longevity products are 100% natural and are very easy to take. The famous pig pack is a must and certainly has helped thousands of people. Please give me a call so I can share my story with you and perhaps introduce you to great health through American Longevity. My phone number is 624-1025.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nikolaisen, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. I love the looks of it. I like the grids in the front, and we decided just to have the plain windows in the rest of the house, but it really dressed up the front of the house. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. All the neighbors, when they'd walk by, they commented on the windows and, in turn, asked us who did it. We told them, and they have had some done themselves.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601, 426-2601.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet.
.NET specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, .NET has a solution to fit your needs. .NET offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. .NET understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call .NET today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. .NET.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
Okay, we are back at 5 minutes before 12 noon. Da, 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 da. You might leave it on. It's fine. Good bumper music. It's MZ with Paul Ellerick and Ken Lane in the radio station here. We're talking about the widening of Highway 1 and what you folks think about that. Should it or should it not? Just about everybody I know says not only should it, it damn well should. And yesterday it should happen. But then we have someone named Paul Ellerick who's been with us for the last almost 2 hours. And he says, wait a minute, there are some other much less expensive ways that should be looked at and tried before we go spend a ton of money for something that he doesn't think is going to solve the problem anyhow. So, interesting perspective to this program discussing issues facing our community. In the final 4 minutes, we're going to go through three phone calls. Jim in Jim and Bonnie Doon hung up, so we're going to go through Ann in Santa Cruz. Ann, you're on the air on KSCO. Hey. Ann? Hello? Ann, you're on?
You're wonderful.
Oh. Okay, thank you, Jerry. That was Jerry to tell me I was wonderful. Okay, now here's, I don't know why it said Ann, but it was, here's William in Aptos, I think, I hope. Is it there? Are you there, Will?
Yeah, William? I'm here, Mike.
Okay, you're on the air.
You're doing a great job there, and your mom, too. I'd like for you to cover other topics to your show, like the recall of the City Council of Santa Cruz and things like that. But anyways, I've lived in San Diego, Los Angeles, and Santa Cruz, and San Diego, we put a freeway in, 163 up through Miramar, and within 3 years, it went bumper to bumper. In L.A., we put a freeway through the San Fernando Valley, and within 4 years, it went bumper to bumper. And what you're dealing with is a saturation point. Once you put a freeway in, developers are going to start building down south of Watsonville. You're going to have residential area all the way through to Seaside, and it's just going to grow and grow, and I think we ought to keep the highway narrow as it is now. It's reached a saturation point, and if people don't like it, then they just find another location to live in.
Well, so you and Gary Patton would get along famously.
No, it's just, you know, it's just like pouring sand through the top of a bottle. There's going to reach a point where it can't go anymore. More sand can go in, and then if you increase the width of the bottle, then more sand will go in, but then it'll reach a saturation point once again. So once you get the freeway in, yes, it'll be good for a couple of years, but then more development will start south all the way around the bay, and you'll be back to bumper to bumper. And I say just put a stop to it now. Keep life as it is. If people don't want to live here, that's their choice. But right now, people like in L.A., when they drive to work, they have an hour and a half in bumper to bumper traffic. And I think this traffic here along one is just, it's nothing.
Right.
It's
really nothing.
And we should be fortunate that that's what we have right here.
Okay, William, thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. Our last caller today will be Gwen in Aptos. Gwen, you're on the air.
Thanks. I'm here.
Yep.
Do you happen to remember when they redrew the lanes down there by the fish hook and tried to, like, adjust it so that you couldn't exit?
I don't, but Paul and Ken both do. So what happened?
It's just a sample of, I think it's a no-growth policy. As far as people that do in relocations and do big projects in other cities, they really don't find work out at all in Santa Cruz County
right.
because Santa Cruz County is known to have a no-growth, an anti-growth policy, which is actually greater than a no-growth policy.
Uh-huh.
And the sample of what this gentleman was just saying about how you can't draw the lanes past because why people will move here is one of the reasons why businesses are failing. You know what that's about.
Right.
So it's kind of tough. You know, you obviously you need public transportation and you need some extra roads, some extra freeway, and some extra lanes.
Tough topic for sure. Gwen, thanks for your call of the Saturday special, which has concluded. I mean, that's it. There ain't no more time. Paul Ellerick, Ken Lane. No, there's no time. But thanks for, we'll do it again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Also want to thank Rosie and Kay's Whirling for coming up with this topic, and for Noah for steering the radio station. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight.
That's all, folks. KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville.
I'm Kurt Lewis. American troops, Iraqi police in uniform and in plain clothes, and Iraqi civilians, too, all milling about the scene where an American Army vehicle was blown up in Fallujah today. Two